The Holy Spirit. We'll get back to this in a little moment. How many of you are hoping I was going to run? Anybody hoping I was going to run? Well, forget it. It ain't going to happen today. Don't get excited. It's not going to happen. There's a reason why I have this on stage today, and I'll make that clear during the message this morning. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I was gone speaking for a while, and then I had a vacation. So, Pastor Ted, thank you so much for being capable of stepping up. We so appreciate you. Don't we love Pastor Ted? We are so grateful God sent him here. What a blessing it is to not worry. I always come back. Even if I don't preach the last Sunday on my vacation, I try to get back here, which means we drive 15 and a half hours straight. And this year I'm like, I don't need to do that. We didn't wake up at 4 in the morning to hurry back because I have confidence in him and Oakwood. And so that was a blessing too. So thank you for giving us a short break, and that was well needed, and we appreciate it so much. The Holy Spirit, back to the Holy Spirit. Hope you can keep track of all that we've talked about. I do have this slide that'll hopefully remind us, recap questions. I've had questions at the end of each message. We started talking about how are my beliefs about the Holy Spirit shaped? How do you come to the point where you're at of knowing who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and experiencing into your life? So are those shaped by other people's thoughts or songs, or what is it shaped by? It needs to be shaped by Scripture. And then we've talked about how can I avoid quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us not to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. So how can I avoid that? I don't want that to be happening in my life. How can I cooperate with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit wants something happening and has things happening. God is working. How am I able to cooperate with the work that's already happening? And then, what is my motivation for having the Holy Spirit? Some people get this wrong. Their motivation is self-motivated. It's about me. I want to do something really cool. I want to do something really big so people will see me. And that's not what the Holy Spirit is doing in us as believers. Am I guilty of taking the Holy Spirit for granted? I think all of us at times have come to the point where we're taking the Holy Spirit for granted in our lives. These are things we've just been talking about along the way. I do plan on getting to the big message that you're all waiting for is what about cessationism and what about the sign gifts, the special gifts. We're going to talk about that toward the end of the series. I think I have this message, one more message, and then I'll get there. So that's where we've been and where we're going. Now, today's big idea is forget about knowing God's will for 5 years from now. Walk in it today. Now, if you're following along with the book, what's his name? Francis Chan. He wrote the book, The Forgotten God. His title was Forget About God's Will for Your Life. I had to soften that because I didn't want you getting, what? But I do agree with his point. We shouldn't be thinking about what is God's will 5 years from now. What is God's will 10 years from now? We should be walking in it every day. If you're walking in it every day, you don't need to be worried about, am I not meeting God's will for my life? I'm not living in God's will for my life. So I thought about this. There's big picture life questions before we pray and really launch this thing. Big picture life questions. You hear people ask, what's your 5-year plan? Right? The big joke when I was a youth pastor is we'd submit a budget and we'd get it back saying, wonderful 5-year plan. No, I needed that money for 1 year. Great 5-year plan, right? People want to know. We're always thinking like, what's going to happen down the road, right? And then have you ever been to graduation open house? Can I tell you, we've got to help our seniors when they graduate. Everybody shows up and everybody asks, well, what's your plan from here? And they've got to say it over and over, 1,000 times. Now listen, some of them are introverts and they're thankful because they haven't memorized. They just want to answer that. Now, if you want to throw them off, I wrote it down. What's the question you should ask? You're going to find out more about them if you ask this question. What is the air-laden velocity, or no, the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? Thank you. That's how I know that I love the people at Oakwood when they can answer things like that. African or European. If you're not following that at all, that's from the Holy Grail, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Ask that, and if they ask you African or European, then you got somewhere, okay? If they don't answer anything, and by the way, does anybody know the answer to the question? I actually have done the research, 20.1 miles an hour. Anyways, don't always ask the same question, right? But we ask these big picture life questions. What's your five-year plan? What are you going to do with your life? What is God's will for your life? This morning, I really want to get us off of thinking that way, because we live often like we're in a cosmic Easter egg hunt. And we've got to discover what God's will is for your life. Let me tell you, it's not that hard. God already revealed his will for all of our lives, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. That's God's will for your life. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's God's will for your life. How you do that is a daily thing. Are you with me? This is a daily thing. We need to be walking in the Holy Spirit every day. It's not something that we have to wonder about or fear that we're missing. We walk in the Holy Spirit. And it's a walk. Everybody wants to see the sprint. Everybody wants to see how fast can you go? How high can you incline? God never tells us to sprint with the Holy Spirit. He simply says, walk. And it's easy. I'm not even holding on. Walking is one of the most simple things. Isn't it great that God helps us by just saying, walk? So many things come up when you hear that word walk. It means now. It means motion. And it's simple. Everybody say simple. Let's pray. Would you pray with me? Would you say these words silently to God? God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Just give that prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. And God, we do pray that you would be glorified, that everyone hearing this message would be edified, and what's the last one? Satan would be horrified, yes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm excited about this message because I think it has the most practical application. I think as believers, we run into the rut of what happens in golf. So I golfed five times last week. It was wonderful. In shorts and a golf shirt. How about that? Five times I golfed. And it's definitely true. Golfers understand this. We end up getting paralysis of analysis. Paralysis of analysis. You know what I mean? If you stand over that golf ball, any good golfer that's had lessons or spent any time doing it, you grab the club and you're already thinking about, is my grip right? Is it too tight? It's got to be like squeezing an open tube of toothpaste without it coming out. That's a specific thing. Is my grip right? Is my stance right? And my father-in-law is a PGA teaching pro, and he's very particular. And every time I get to line up, he's standing behind me, and he'll say, where do you think you're aiming? I hate that question because I'm like, tell me where I'm aiming, because he knows. He watches my setup, and he knows. He's like, Don, you gotta pull that right foot back a little. And by the way, your stance isn't wide enough. And flare that front foot. Well, now I'm so messed up. Man, I can't even hit the ball, right? And when you get over that ball, you're thinking, oh, man, I don't want to hit this ball wrong. And so I always put the logo on the inside, and I try to hit the inside. Those of you who golf know why, because you don't want to come over the top. That's a bad swing. You want to try to come in and hit that logo on the inside. And so there's so many things. And you can stand over that ball, and all of a sudden you get the paralysis of analysis. Any golf with somebody that gets ready and they just don't pull the trigger? This is because their brain's going, you know, 1,000 miles, my grip, my feet, my stance, my weight. I got to lean. I got to, my knees. I got to, and oh, we make a mess of it. I'm so thankful that our God didn't tell us, you've got to be somewhere 5 years from now. You better start planning for it, because right now, I'm telling you, and you got to start running. You better start running and raising all the money in the world, because you got to. No, our God says, walk today. Walk today. Walk right now. And if we're doing this in the Holy Spirit, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, you are right where God wants you to be. Let's talk. Romans 8, 1 through 13 is where we're going to be this morning for most of our time. If you've got a copy of the scripture or a gadget, now would be the time to meet me there. Romans 8, 1 through 13. I'm going to read the whole context first, and then we'll come back and make some comments. Here it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what Aaliyah was talking about with her grandfather. Grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. There's no condemnation. Because of grace, we are not going to face condemnation because of Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, verse 2, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, sarx, the Greek word, our flesh, our body, our cravings, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Likeness, he was not sinful. He didn't live in the flesh, but he came in flesh. So the son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live, I would say walk, it's a good version of that word live, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live or walk according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live or walk in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to walk according to it. For if you walk according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Amen. Praise God for the reading of his scripture. There's so many things that are in the, and I love all the ifs there. I emphasize that. Did you hear the word if? If is one of those words in Scripture we really got to pay attention to. Two small letters. If, I-F, that's all it is, but it's a huge word. It's an important word. If you are walking in the, or if you are walking in the Spirit. Very important context here. So let's walk through Romans 8, 1 through 13. And of course, in typical fashion as a preacher, I want to start in Romans 7. We got to go backwards just a little bit. I got to remind you where Paul's been, right? Because in Romans 7, verse 18, Paul says, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. He's talking about the sarx. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Do you hear Paul? He is desperate. He's forlorn. Use a big word there. He's overwhelmed. He's saying, I know the good I have to do, but I cannot carry it out in the flesh. So I've got good news for you. It is impossible for us, but it's been made possible. How? In chapter 8. That's why I went back to chapter 7 to point out it's impossible, but in chapter 8 it becomes possible. And we see that in 8 verse 2. The Spirit of life makes it possible. Let me read verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. What do we do with this sin problem we have? This flesh, this sarx? Well, get up and walk daily in the Spirit. You got a choice to make every day you wake up. Are you going to walk according to the flesh, the sarx? Because your cravings will tell you what to do, but often it's not a good choice. Amen? My wife went to the brownie box this week in Oxford. She got out of work Friday and she decided to go to the brownie box. I'm finding stuff all over. There's brownies and they're good. There's Rice Krispie treats. And not only did they put stuff on them. I think they're dipped in white chocolate and sprinkled with something. Oh, chocolate cupcakes with what's that German chocolate topping on them. I was like, honey, man, you probably spent $50 there. I was joking. She said, oh, more than that. Ooh. Now listen, I'm not giving her a hard time because, man, I've enjoyed them. But if we walk according to the flesh all the time, we're going to be living in sin. Because your body will tell you to do things that go against God. It just will. The cravings will come for you to do what goes against God. What's the remedy for this? I love the remedy because the remedy is so simple. Get up and walk in the Spirit. You got to say no to the flesh, and we got to walk in the Spirit. And it's so simple. What God tells us to do is not rocket science. Oh, I can't say that. We got rocket scientists to say, quit saying that. So it's not... what's hard? Brain surgery. There you go. It's not brain surgery. Right, Gary? I mean, that's probably more complex, isn't it? Walk. Just walk. But walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. This is why the Spirit is so important. Why we need the Spirit in our lives every day. Verse 5 through 8 of this passage talks about my mindset makes a difference. Were you listening to Pastor Ted? Was that the first message you did? It was about the mind and what you put in, right? Or what you allow in. And so in Romans 8, 5 through 8, it talks about this. The mindset makes a difference. Let's look at it. Verse 5, those who live or walk according to their flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live or walk in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. This is why the Holy Spirit's essential. This is not just some cool hip thing God gave you to show off. The Holy Spirit is life. It's the only way we can live this out. Go back to Romans chapter 7. Paul said, it's impossible. I can't do that. No, you can't. He couldn't do it. You can't do it. We can't do it. But God made it possible. How? Simply walking in the Spirit. But that's an everyday thing. That's not a 5 years down the road thing. That's not a... Now, hear me. Eyeballs here. Hear your pastor. Of course we need to be planning, right? That's okay to plan, but don't get the paralysis of analysis. You walk in the Spirit, and God will lead. If you're walking in the Spirit, you will be led. You will hear God tell you. Right now, I feel the Holy Spirit talking to me, and it's a simple thing. It's simple as walking. I've met somebody here in town that started a new business, and I go to that business every day. Every morning of the week, I go there now, and I'm just slowly having conversations. Every day when I walk in, I have a quick conversation with the owner of the business, and I tell my wife, I'm so excited. This has been 1 week so far, and I'm excited. I'm like, yo, next week, I'm going to talk about this. And that'll lead me to the end of next week. I'll probably this week, maybe next week, I'm probably going to let him know I'm a pastor. It hasn't been important yet. I don't think he cares or he needs to know right now. I'm just building a friend. And I feel led by the Holy Spirit. I get excited every morning before I come to work. I go there. And I'm excited. This is important stuff. It's part of my walk. Each day, I feel led by the Spirit to have these conversations. You know what I found out? On Friday, I was there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. On Friday, I found out he's my neighbor. He lives less than five houses from me. How cool. Walk. 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 Simple. This is not rocket science. Just walk each day. Mindset makes a difference. And then we get to 9 through 13. The Holy Spirit is life-giving. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. This righteousness is not something we have on our own. Remember back at the beginning of Romans chapter 8, God gave us Jesus, who came in flesh, but did not live in the flesh. He lived by the Spirit. He died for us. He paid that penalty. That's why we go back to Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation for you and me that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Christ paid the price. Oh, that's never supposed to come with no amen. Let me try that again. Why? Because Christ paid the price. Amen. It's been done for us. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. We're not in condemnation because of Jesus. I handed him all my sinfulness when I said, please save me. Please forgive me. I gave him all of Don Jackson's sinfulness. He gave me all of his perfection and righteousness. It's a beautiful exchange. Beautiful. Yeah, this morning, hi Dan. Dan's in the hospital. Dan got called, what, Thursday, was it? 7 a.m.? I think it was Thursday, Wednesday maybe. They said, get to the hospital right now. We've got a kidney for you. He was on the donor list. He was waiting for a kidney. He got the call, 7 a.m., get here now. He hustled. They got to the hospital. They opened him up, and they put somebody else's kidney. Somebody else died. Honestly, just frankly, somebody else died. They were a donor. They gave their kidney. Dan got a kidney this weekend. We were there the next day. Ted and I drove down to see him. I walked in the room, and I turned and I looked at him like, what? I was expecting to see, you know, out of machines and blah, 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 blah. No, he's in good color, and he looks great. Same thing we saw you. I remember going to the hospital to see you after your open heart surgery. We walked in, and I'm like, what? Dude looked like he was ready to go boxing somebody. He's just doing great. Color was good. I'm like, no way. This new kidney Dan got is giving him life. It's going to change his life. What an exchange. I don't know what they do with his crappy old kidney, but it's gone. He got rid of something that wasn't working, and he got something that was working. What a great picture of what God does for us and in us through Jesus Christ. Oh, what a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit is life-giving. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit that we've been talking about is not for some show. It's not for some thing. It's not for do this in me. And for crying out loud, we do our own thing. And then all of a sudden we'll come to God and say, okay, I need the Spirit now. What? No, you need the Spirit all day long. You need the Spirit from the moment you wake up. We need to stop living life in the flesh and then all of a sudden saying, oh yeah, God, now it's important. Give it to me. Give me the power. I want the power now. No. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walking. Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What's God's remedy for the flesh? Is to stop walking in the flesh and to start walking in the Spirit. And it's such a simple thing, isn't it? It's just not complex. You know, I don't know if you've been doing this in your mind. I'm a music guy, and so songs always come to mind.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon
I bet you never thought of this spiritually. Listen to the words of this song.
You never will get where you're going if you never get up on your feet.
Uh-huh.
Come on, there's a good tailwind blowing. A fast walking man is hard to beat. Put one foot in front.
You want to sing it, don't you?
And soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front. front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door. If you want to change your direction,
if you want to change your direction,
your time of life is at hand. Well, don't be the rule, be the exception. A good way to start is to stand. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door.
Huh? Huh? You know. Do you know that song? That's why I love Christmas special. I got them all recorded. And soon as I started looking at this message and reading the passage, I kept hearing, just put one foot in front of the other. You know why it makes sense? Because I'm a simple man. Your pastor's not brilliant. I'm not a deep theologian with doctorates. No. No. To me, I love it when the Bible makes it simple and clear. Just put one foot in front of the other. You see, friends, I'm not telling you to leave today and ask God if you are supposed to open a mission in Africa with two kids that'll go over to 8,000 kids. I'm not asking you to think like that. I mean, I'm praise God that he did that in the McLeans. Praise God for that. But that's their journey. I bet you if you did take more time, Rod, you probably would have talked about the walking that led you, because I think it's the walking. The walking's got to happen first every day, and then all of a sudden the world opens up and you see God's plans, because he's already doing it. He doesn't need you to go out and create it, but he's not telling you, you got to get up and start planning because I'm going to have you start a mission. No. Just put one foot in front of the other today. It's never a tomorrow thing. Isn't that true? With God, it's never a tomorrow thing. It's never a next week thing. Don't you love what we see in Scripture? He tells Abraham, okay, here's the plan. Tomorrow I want you to get up and go to the land that I'll show you. What? But God, I need more information than that. I need to know where. Is it going to be cold? Do I pack a jacket? Is it going to be hot? Do I need to pack shorts? What kind of shoes do I need? God says, get up and go to the land I'll show you. You know what Abraham had to do? He had to get up and get dressed and start walking. I don't know how many steps he took before God said, okay, we're heading this way. Oh. Are you with me? Are you getting this concept? I know it's so simple you could miss it today, but it's a beautiful thing. God is simply calling us to walk daily. Galatians 2:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Do you get it? God's telling us over and over again, just walk. Step. No leaps. Steps. Day by day. It involves moving in a particular direction set by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense too? We're talking about walking, but God sets the direction. We get out and we start walking, and it implies in his direction, which immediately means a 180 from the sarks you've been living in. You cannot keep living in the flesh and walk in the Spirit. Let me say it again. You cannot keep living in the flesh and walk in the Spirit, because when you're walking in the Spirit, you cannot walk in the flesh. Let me tell you, there is a way to never sin. Now, when I say that, relax. You're like, what? It's impossible. But if you do get up and start walking in the Spirit, and if you're in the Spirit walking every step day by day, you will not sin. It's impossible. Now, we struggle with that because we are in the sarks. This is my treadmill. I've been on it more today this morning than I ever was. We got this and brought it home, put it in the basement. My son helped me get it down there. It was terrible. Not near as bad as the four men that came yesterday to pull it out of my basement. Took four of them. They came to my house. Thank you, men. Gary, I heard you cut yourself and you bled. I wiped the whole thing down just in case you bled all over it. The reason why we brought it is it makes a really good illustration, but I don't want it in my basement anymore. Why? I don't use it. Anybody with me this morning? Anybody have a piece of workout equipment that does nothing but hang up clothes? Yeah, I talked to the four guys that picked up this thing, and I'm like, yeah, we just hung stuff on it. It was a great hanger. You know, it'd be foolish if I had purchased this, which I didn't. I got it from somebody else who never used it. And by the way, the reason why I had him pull it out, because it's going home with Tim, right? There's a hope that Tim will use it. He's an Iron Man, so hopefully they'll get some use. But if I had bought this thing from a store and went back a year later and said, psh, I want my money back. That doesn't work. And the guy would look at me and say, what's wrong? It doesn't operate? No, it operates fine. Well, what's wrong? Well, I never got on it. It doesn't work. I think there's believers that start trying to live the Christian life, and then they go to God and say, I want my money back. This doesn't work. This Christian life is not working. Yeah. It will not work if you don't get on it. It simply will not do anything. And that's why God says, walk. You gotta walk. Now, there might be confusion on this, so let me finish this, and then I'll talk to you about it. Ephesians 5:18. I am filled with the Spirit to the extent that I'm walking in the Spirit. And so I want to talk to you real briefly about this. We are to walk God's path, which implies repentance. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Why would God give us a command in Scripture to be filled with the Spirit when I've already taught you that you've been given the Spirit? Remember, I taught you that. The moment you're saved, the Spirit lives in you, right? But then in Ephesians 1:13, even though we've been commanded to be filled with the Spirit, in Ephesians 1:13, it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth and the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, and you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. How come the Bible tells us that as believers we have the entire Holy Spirit, but then commands us to be filled with that Spirit? The reason why we have a command to be filled is because there is something you need to do. Now, we don't talk about that in church very much, because we know it's all been done by Christ, amen? We know that salvation is through Christ alone. There's nothing you can do. But the moment you receive him, God says, walk. Walk. Does that mean we're doing it? I gotta put on my glasses. The Bible says things like work out your salvation. Then it turns out and says it's God who works in you. Well, what is it? Which one is it? It's both. It's both. Not salvation. We're not talking about salvation. That's Christ alone. There's nothing you can do. It's a gift from God. But then it's walking, and that's something you have to do. Let me ask you an important question. In bread, there's yeast and flour. Which one's most important? Yes. Yeah. I don't want just a yeast. That's no good. I don't want to just eat flour. You don't get to pick with bread. It's both. So as a Christian, this whole concept of walking is a both and. Get up and walk. Work out your salvation. But it is God who works in you. It's both we do and God does. Without God, the whole thing's impossible. But without us getting on, nothing's going to happen. Amen? Are you with me? Do you see the importance of the simple command of walking in the Spirit? Band, come on up. It's time to close. Come on up, band. As they come, here's the last thing. The key question for today is this. Am I walking in the Holy Spirit step by step, day by day? Let's stop thinking about God's will for my life 5 years from now. Who knows? He might want you to do something over in Africa or Asia. But you're not going to know that until you get up and start walking step by step, day by day. It's a choice you make. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit and God working in you and through you. Rod and Darcy, Pastor Ted and I want to be there. We're coming in September. In September, we're coming to Africa to see what you're doing, and then we'll let you. Maybe you will go, and you will see. But let's start. Let's not forget to do what God wants us to do. I don't know about you, but tomorrow I got plans. But the next day, I plan on going back to that shop because I just, step by step, I want to walk in the Spirit. I feel led to have a relationship and a conversation that might lead to Jesus. And so it takes a choice. I have to leave my house and go in the opposite direction of the church to go there every morning. It's a choice. You can make a choice. And as your pastor, I'm not asking you to know God's will for your life for 5 years from now. I'm asking you, get up and do what you know is right today, tomorrow, and the next day. Father God, in the name of Jesus, help us to be people who simply walk. I just can't fathom what a church would be like if everybody in that church was daily walking, step by step, in the Spirit. Oh, the power, the direction. Oh, God, do that in us. Do that in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.